Well, good morning and happy Easter. We've been celebrating all morning that we celebrate a risen Savior. He is alive today. Amen. Are we so thankful for that? Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you, Lord, on this Easter Sunday. Lord, we can direct our attention that you are alive. But Lord, we're also thankful that every Sunday, Lord, we get to celebrate the resurrection. Lord God, as we look at your word, Lord, we ask, give us, Lord, hearts and ears, Lord, to receive it. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to be in the New Testament book of Romans. And so if you have your Bible, have your phone, I would encourage you to turn to the book of Romans and find chapter 1, Romans chapter 1. And as you're finding Romans, I would encourage you, if you're new, especially to come back next week as we begin a new series looking at the life of Jacob, found in the Old Testament book of Genesis. And if you are maybe in the midst of some family drama, or maybe you just like drama, you're going to love this series, as this family is very dysfunctional. And so it's pretty entertaining, but more than that, it's going to be also very helpful and practical. And so again, I would encourage you to come back next Sunday. All right, if you found Romans chapter 1, if you'll look with me starting at verse 14, we're going to read 14 through 17. The Apostle Paul, he says this. He says, I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew and then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Can you recall a time that you've been embarrassed? For me, this doesn't take too long. There's a long list of moments in my life. I'll share a couple of them with you. I can remember very vividly as a senior in high school, embarrassing myself pretty good. Now, you know, as a senior in high school, at least this was my thought, you know, you're trying to act cool or whatever the, you know, term is now. I'm not sure what the teenagers exactly use, but you're trying to act cool, maybe give somebody the underclassmen to look up to. And so for whatever reason, I kind of took that upon myself. And one week of school, we show up and the weather got bad. And so we showed up, and about 30 minutes into the day, they went ahead and canceled school. Now, this wasn't great planning, but that's what took place. And so it's snowing, it's icing, all this stuff. And so off to our cars we go. And as I leave to go outside, I take a step and I slip and I fall down on the ice. Now, that's embarrassing enough. But what made it worse, and I can still see this image today, is as I was falling to the ground and I hit it hard, I'm not sure what was worse, hitting the ground or my pride being shook here, but I looked and there was this sophomore girl, saw this whole thing unfold, and she was just dying laughing. Now, this has been over 20 years ago, and today I can still see her face, all right? It still is embarrassing. But that's not all. I remember again in high school, our youth group went to the Lake of the Ozarks to do some go-kart racing. And so we kind of had a decent sized group. And so we had a little bit of a wait. And so some of us were outside, some of us were inside waiting to go. And then the announcement came that our group, it was our turn. And so in my excitement, right, it is time to go go-kart racing. In my excitement, I turn, I run to go inside when bam, I stop. Something hurt. What had happened is I ran into this clear sliding glass door. I'm sure I looked ridiculous, right? Embarrassing. And so apparently for me, there was a stretch when I was a teenager, it was dangerous for me to walk, all right? And so I worked through that, all right? I pushed through that. So for you, can you recall an embarrassing moment, right? Does something come to mind right now? But let me ask it this way, as we consider our text this morning, have you ever been embarrassed or ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Now, the gospel, that term simply means good news. It's the good news announcement about the person and work of Jesus, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to our earth. He lived among us, right? He lived a perfect, sinless life, and he goes to the cross as our substitutionary sacrifice, that you and I, because of our sin, there is a penalty that we have for our sin. And God at the cross pours out his anger, his wrath on his Son, so that we could be saved, so that penalty could be removed. And Jesus died for us, but then he rose from the grave. Jesus coming back to life was God the Father revealing that he accepted that sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what we celebrate today and every Sunday. Now, over the last few weeks, we've been in this series that we titled Find and Follow, where we've been looking at what it means to find and follow Jesus. And then as we're following Jesus, how we can be engaged in helping other people find and follow Jesus. Right? This is what we as a church are all about. But yet, given some of the claims of Christianity, and maybe the resurrection for you is one of them, there can be some stumbling blocks. There can be some things that we're maybe ashamed of that make us feel timid about following the Lord. And this feeling, this struggle that we can have is not unique to us. Because here in this opening chapter of Romans, the apostle Paul, who himself had seen the risen Lord Jesus, he says in verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Now, why would Paul, who had seen the risen Lord Jesus, who had done so many things for Christ, why would he say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel? Why would he begin the letter in this way? It's because Paul, like us, was tempted in his journey of following Jesus, of feeling embarrassed, at times ashamed of the claims of Christianity, of being embarrassed at times of the gospel. And the reason that he could feel this way at times, the reason that we can struggle with this at times, is because the gospel of Jesus Christ, yes, it has some kind of crazy claims about the death and resurrection of Jesus, but I think even more than that, the gospel can be offensive. See, the word that Paul uses, ashamed, it could also be translated offense, that Paul is not ashamed of the offense of the gospel. And what are some of the offenses of the gospel? The gospel can be offensive because what it claims is that you and I cannot do enough good things to earn our salvation. Right? Kind of the default of our heart, right? Or maybe you've asked a family member of, why should God accept you? The common response to that is, I'm just trying to be a good person, right? If I have more good than bad, then maybe God will accept me. But yet the gospel says it will never be enough. Another reason is because of the grace of God found in the gospel. I can remember a few years back having this conversation, and this guy was kind of opposed to Christianity. He's saying, so you're telling me that a person could do all these things, and then he went through the list, you know, cheat people, lie, steal, even murder somebody. And you're telling me if that person confessed their sin and put their trust in Jesus, they'd be saved, they'd be forgiven? And the gospel says, yes. But for him, it was too much to overcome. The gospel can be offensive because it tells each of us that we are sinful, right? We don't like to admit that. Right? We want to think that we're basically good, but yet the gospel says we are made in the image of God. It's a wonderful thing, but yet there is a brokenness in our heart. And our hearts are sinful. They are opposed to God, and we don't want to admit that. We don't want to admit that our hearts are so far from God that Jesus had to come and die for our sin. It's offensive. The gospel is offensive because the gospel claims it is only through the person and work of Jesus that someone could be saved. This may be the most opposed thing in our culture, right? Maybe you've had, again, this conversation with a friend. Maybe this is where you're at. There are all these different ways to kind of scale the mountain to get to God. But yet the gospel makes it clear it is only through Jesus that a person is saved. And so it may be one of these offenses. Maybe it's something I did not identify that is causing you right now to get stuck in your own spiritual journey. In this series, Amanda went through that spiritual engagement journey. It's going to be on the screen again. And I would encourage you, where do you find yourself? Maybe you find yourself not interested, and it's because of some of these offenses of the gospel. Maybe for you, you're spiritually curious or interested, but yet there are some certain things that you have to admit about yourself that are causing you not to cross that line of faith and follow Jesus. Maybe for you, you're in that kind of believer stage of, yes, you are a believer, a Christian, but yet to live out that more than Sunday life is gonna cause you to kind of have to change some things up. And maybe your reputation might take a hit, or some relationships that you have might be affected, and you're not sure if you're willing to continue to follow Jesus. Maybe for you, you're in that follower phase and you want somebody that you know and love. Maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a friend. You want them to know Christ. Maybe you can think of them right now, you're picturing them, but yet you're struggling with the actual power of the gospel. Right, I've had people in my life and I wanted them to know Jesus, but in the back of my mind, I'm going, there is no way they would ever trust Christ. But yet some of them did. And to my shame, I wasn't involved in that. And so we can have all these different stumbling blocks, all these different barriers that we put before us that cause us to not continue to move forward in our relationship with Jesus, right? To make us feel timid, ashamed, or embarrassed. And this is what Paul wrestled with at times. This is what we each wrestle with at times. But yet Paul begins and he says he's not ashamed. He's not embarrassed of the gospel because it is the power of salvation. See, the reality is that you and I, because of our sin and our rebellion and our rejection of God, right? You've felt that in your heart, right? You push back against the Lord. And so we've sinned, we've rebelled against our creator God. And the reality is because of that, we will face a penalty for our sin. We will be separated from God for all time. But yet Jesus Christ, he comes to this earth, he lives among us, and he goes to the cross and he pays that great penalty for us. As it says in the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament, that Jesus Christ, he loves you so much, he was crushed for you. And when God looked at Christ on the cross, all of our sin was placed on him. It's just a gruesome thought. But yet Christ did that for you. And when you put your trust, when you admit your sin and follow Christ, you're saved, you're rescued. No longer do you have to fear death. No longer do you have to be just this struggle with sin all the time. But now you've been rescued. You've been saved by the power of the gospel. This is what Paul gave himself to. This is what he wanted people to understand. He wanted us each to understand the reality of our condition, that yes, we are sinful, but yet God loves us so much, he gave his son for you. I would ask right now, if you are not a Christian, if you're not yet a follower of Jesus, what is causing you from not putting your trust in Christ? Right? What stumbling blocks, what barriers are maybe you putting there that right now are too much for you to overcome? Would you see Christ's love for you? Would you admit your sin and that you have rejected your creator God, but he loves you so much, he did not give up on you, but pursued you and wants to forgive you and accept you into his family? And for those of us that are followers of Jesus, right? Are we wrecked by the reality that our family and our friends that do not know Christ will be separated from him for all time? Does that cause us to fall down on our knees and pray to the Lord to draw that person to him, to open their heart to believe and accept the gospel? See, this is what Paul gave himself to. This is what we are to receive, and then we are to be engaged in, of helping others find and follow Jesus. And so Paul begins, he says, I'm not ashamed. Though at times I'm tempted to be ashamed, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it rescues people. It brings salvation. But Paul also continues and he says, not only is he not ashamed because it brings salvation or it rescues a person from sin. The second reason is because the gospel is the power of transformation, or we could phrase it this way, it brings real life change. Look again at verse 17. Paul, he continues and he says, for in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Paul states that we are made righteous by faith. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at how that term, the biblical term, is that we are justified. That means we are declared righteous. It's this courtroom language that you and I, because of our sin, we have this sin debt. And before the creator judge, we are guilty. But at the cross, that guilt, that debt has been removed. But it's not just been removed and then we have to start over and try again. No, instead, we now receive the perfect righteousness of Jesus. And so when God looks at you, he no longer sees your sin or your shame or your guilt. Instead, he sees the perfect record of Christ. Now, sometimes to kind of help us visualize that, to give us a picture of that concept, we refer to it as being clothed in the righteousness of Jesus, right? It's like putting on this robe. And when God looks at us, he doesn't see our filth. Instead, he sees that beautiful robe of Jesus' righteousness. There's a parable, a story in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 15. It's often referred to as the parable of the prodigal son. And what happens in this parable is this young guy goes to his father and he says to his dad, hey, I want all my inheritance, which was just an awful thing to do because he's basically saying, Dad, I wish you were dead. And his dad, he gives him his inheritance and off he goes, it says, to a far country. And this guy lives it up. I mean, he's partying, he's doing all the stuff, he's having a great time until he runs out of money. And then this guy hits rock bottom. And it's so bad, this Jewish man goes to work on this farm with pigs, which for Jewish people, that was just awful. And he longed, because he was starving, to eat the food that the pigs were eating. Now, I have to say this, especially on Easter, I love pigs, right? I love to eat them, right? Pork chops, bacon. I'm sure right now, some of you guys have been telling me this morning, you got a ham waiting for you at home. Right, so pigs taste great, but you know what? They're filthy. They're gross. And so here's this guy in the slop with these pigs. He's filthy. He's disgusting. But yet he comes to his senses and he says, I'm going to return home. He says, I'm going to go to my father and I'm going to say, Dad, let me just be like a servant. For at least then I'll be taken care of. And so he heads back home and the father who had been looking for his son day after day after day, he looks in the distance and he sees his son coming back. And it says the father runs to him. He embraces him. And then it says in this story that the father takes the best robe and he covers his son. His son who had been filthy, who had been disgusting, he is covered over by that clean and beautiful robe. This is a picture of us, that we've run to that far country. Maybe right now you're here today, but you're in that far country and you run from the Lord. You've disrespected your creator God who loves you. He said, I want nothing to do with you. But yet when we return to him, when he embraces us, he covers us with the righteousness of Jesus. And so positionally, you are justified. You are declared righteous. That's your position. You will always have that if you put your trust in Jesus. But yet practically, we need to become more and more like Christ, right? The term for that is we need to grow in our sanctification. That just means we need to mature in our faith. We need to look more and more like Christ in how we think and act, how we treat people. And so what Paul is saying is the same power of the gospel that brings salvation is the same power that brings transformation. This is why Paul states it. He says it's by faith from first to last. I love how one pastor phrases it here. This is J.D. Greer. He says this of the gospel. He says the gospel is not just the ABCs of Christianity. It's the A through Z. Every virtue of the Christian life grows out of a deeper experience in the gospel. Spiritual growth happens not by going beyond the gospel, but going deeper into it. See, you and I are mistaken if we think the gospel is just that beginning point, right? The ABCs, that you cross that line of faith and you need to believe in the gospel, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And then off you go, you get baptized and then you move on to other stuff, right? You kind of graduate to other things. And there are many people that believe that. And so they want this experience and then they want that experience. And then they run out of kind of that feeling of all those different experiences. And it's wonderful when we have those moments where we just feel the presence of God. But yet what Paul is saying is we grow deeper and we are transformed by going deeper into the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We just go deeper and deeper into it. And many of you know my family loves Branson, right? Particularly Silver Dollar City. And so over the last few years, we've taken multiple tours of Marvel Cave. Now, my kids, they did not want to do this tour for a long, long time. They continued to push back on me. Then they finally went. Now we go all the time. I'm pretty sure I could be a cave tour guide at this point. I know this thing so well. And one of the things that they tell you is there's this lake in this cave, and they have tried to find the bottom, But yet as of today, they can't find it. And it's a beautiful image of the gospel that you can't find the bottom. You just continue to grow in it. The gospel is simple that a child can understand it, but yet it is so deep and so rich, you will spend the rest of your life growing into the gospel of knowing Christ Jesus. I just want to be very practical as we think about how the gospel transforms our life and how we can apply the gospel to your life. You want to be a better husband? You look at the gospel. You look at how Christ loves the church, which is called the bride of Christ. He died for the church. He was self-sacrificial. And so guys, when we get in that argument or we're in that rough season and everything in you wants to shut down and leave and be done, you remind yourself of the gospel. That Jesus Christ loves his bride. He pursues his bride. And so you are to pursue your bride. You continue to pursue your wife. Wives, do you respect and love your husbands as Christ loves and respects you? As parents, right? We love our children, but we don't always feel it, right? Sometimes we want to just say, hey, I'm done with this. But yet we remind ourselves of how great a father God has been to you. And as parents, we continue, as we dwell in the gospel, as we continue to think of God's steadfast love, whether that child is 3 or 5 or 10 or 20 or age 50, you continue to love them. You continue to love them because God has continued to love you. Through all the ups and downs of your spiritual journey, he has been there. And through all the ups and downs of their journey, you continue to pursue them. Maybe you lack being generous. You remind yourself of the generosity that Christ has poured out for you. Maybe you have some relationship strain and there's just a bitterness, there's a hurt. Right? Everything in you does not want to forgive that person, does not want to seek reconciliation. But yet right before us is the gospel, that we have been forgiven, that we have been reconciled, and we are to seek the same for that person. And so these examples and countless other situations that we face in life, as we are wanting to see life change, we think of the gospel, we dwell on the gospel, we apply the gospel to all different areas of our life. And when we do that, we'll continue to experience that real life change. You know, this is one of the greatest experiences to see in other people. This is one of the reasons I would encourage you, though the local church is not perfect and has its own issues at times, and we as a church can have our own issues. But this is one of the reasons that I would encourage you to become a member of a local church, is because you get to see the transformation in other followers of Jesus. You see that person that is so shy and timid, but yet because of the gospel, they have a boldness and they make that invite. They share the gospel and somebody, a friend of theirs, comes to faith. You see somebody that was maybe addicted to pornography or drinking or whatever it may be, and they experience freedom. You see those that are bitter and holding on to that grudge, but because of the gospel, they let it go. And there's forgiveness, and that relationship is restored. And so we see this transformation in others, but also as followers of Jesus, we see it in our own heart. I want you to think back right now, when you became a Christian and where you're at today, do you see the transformation that has taken place? And it's not always immediate, often it's not, and it can be a struggle, and at times we feel like we take a few steps forward and then one step back. But yet look back, and maybe for you it's been a year or 5 years or 20 or 40 years, whatever it's been. Do you see your heart become more soft to the things of God? Have you seen your heart love the Lord more? Have you seen in your life just an increased just disgust and hatred for your sin? These are all evidences of the transformation that you are experiencing the power of the gospel. And so Paul, again, he says, he's not ashamed. He's not ashamed of what Christ has done. He's not ashamed of the gospel because it rescues, it saves a person. It saved you, but it also brings transformation. And so what should our response be? Because of the power of the gospel to bring salvation, to bring transformation, and we have experienced this, what should be our next step? We'll go back to verse 14. Paul says, because of the power of the gospel, he says, I'm obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and foolish. He says, this is why I'm so eager to preach the gospel to you in Rome. Paul says, I'm obligated. Another way to render that is I'm indebted. Right? He's indebted to share the gospel. Now, I came across kind of a helpful illustration of how to think through this. And there's kind of two ways we can understand this. One is if you give me $100, I'm indebted to give you that $100 back. So that's one way. That's pretty straightforward. But the second is this. Someone may give me $100 to then give to someone else. And I would be indebted to that other person until I give them that $100. And when it comes to the gospel, it's the second way that Paul is referring to. Paul is indebted. He is obligated to preach the gospel because of what he had received. Paul had hated Christians. He was running away from the Lord, but God entered his life, transformed his life, and he gave Paul a specific assignment. He gave Paul an assignment to go to the Gentiles. And though that assignment was unique to Paul, yet you and I, as followers of Jesus, we still have an assignment. And it's found in Matthew chapter 28, what is often called the Great Commission. And what has taken place is Jesus has died and risen from the grave. He has spent a few weeks with his disciples and he's about to ascend and go to heaven. And he gives these last words to them and by extension us today. And he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He says, teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you to the very end of the age. Jesus is saying, therefore, go. Sometimes we can think of this as just world missions, and it definitely applies to that. But when Jesus says go, it can be read this way, as you're going. In your day-to-day life, just kind of the mundane things that we go through, in our day-to-day life, help other people find and follow Christ. And so in that circle of influence that we all have, right? It might be some classmates, it might be a friend, some family members, whatever it is for you. On that way to the ballgame, at work, at school, in those conversations, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Because through the gospel, a person can know and receive salvation and they can receive life change. Right? That person that is struggling, maybe with their identity, they find a new identity in Christ. That person that has these addictions can be set free by Christ. That person that is still in their sin, separated from God, receives salvation. And so let us be like Paul. Let us not be ashamed of the gospel because it is the power to save and rescue a person. It is the power to give that person that you love a new joy and hope that they have never experienced before because of who and what Christ has done for them. Would you please bow your head and close your eyes for a moment? I want to give us a few moments to reflect on this. I know today can be kind of a busy day of different activities. Let's just, for a few moments, pause. For you right now, is there an offense of the gospel that is keeping you from taking that next step in your spiritual journey? For you, maybe you find yourself curious about Christ and Christianity, but you would say, I'm not yet a believer. What barriers or maybe what offenses are you struggling with? For many, it's laying down that you can't save yourself. Would you put your trust and reliance in what Christ has done for you? Would you trust in that? As a follower of Jesus, what's maybe causing you to be embarrassed or ashamed of some of the claims of the gospel? To maybe not be public in your faith with your friend and coworkers. Would you take that step to let them know you're a believer? Maybe some of the struggles that they share, could you speak into their life about the hope that you have in Christ? As a follower of Jesus, as we come to this Easter Sunday, would you reflect on how much God loves you, that he sent his one and only son to go to the cross and die for you, but that he is alive today? Do you understand that the same power that brought Christ back is the same power to bring you and give you salvation and transformation, to give you new life? Would you thank God for the change that you've seen, a softer heart, more love for the Lord? Would you thank him and also ask him to continue to work in your life? Myself and our prayer team will be up front to help in any way we can. If you're ready to take that next step to follow Jesus, we would love to pray with you now or after the service. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that these words of Paul, Lord, over 2,000 years ago, Lord, still apply today. That, Lord, we can have times where we are ashamed or embarrassed of the gospel, but Lord, help us to take root in our heart, Lord, the salvation that you offer, the transformation that you offer. Lord, help us to admit our need of the gospel. Lord Jesus, we thank you for how much you love us. Lord, we thank you that you are alive today, working in our lives still. We praise you and we lift you high. We ask all this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.